All right. Well, good morning again. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I hope you do. We're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get you one. We have those at the giving table. Want you to have a copy of God's Word. This is God's truth for every part of life. God's Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we, this morning, are going to look at it and depend on it this morning. So we're near the end of the book. We're going to be in verses 10 through 14 this morning. And so we're getting close. Next Sunday, me and Heidi are going to be out of town. And so Brad Rhodes is going to be finish up the book, Lord willing, the end of the book of Philippians. It's just been a great study. I love the heart of this church and the challenge. The challenges that Paul gives to them. And so this morning, a tough challenge, contentment, okay? Contentment's a hard one. Most of you guys know that I love disc golf, okay? I love disc golf. It's fun to get out and play, throw frisbees around a park. One of my favorite discs is the Boss, okay? And so this is not the disc, but my first disc I ever got an ace on a hole was with a Boss, okay? And you know it's a good disc if it's called the Boss, so the Boss disc. And I remember my first ace, like just the most amazing feeling. If you've played disc golf, if you're a disc golfer, that's the most amazing throw you can do is a hole in one. Just throw it, let it rip, and then just see it. And you're like, maybe there's a chance. No, surely not. Wait, there might be a chance. Oh, it's going in. And then to hear the chains, there's just nothing like it. It's just amazing to get an ace on a hole. And so I remember getting my first ace, and I was like, man, that was the most amazing thing. And then I went to the next hole, and I was like, I wonder if I can get another ace. And so I was like, man, when am I going to get my next ace? And it wasn't that round. It was a few months later, but I got another ace. And it just seems like it was amazing, but man, it's hard to be content, isn't it? I was ready for the next ace, waiting for the next one. And doesn't it just seem like it? Have you ever felt that way? You're like waiting on something. If just this one thing in my life will change. And sometimes like you're going through something negative, and this negative thing is removed, maybe a loss or a hardship, maybe if I get rid of this, then I can be content. Or maybe it's something that you've been longing for, dreaming of. It's like, if I just get this, then I can be content. And then what happens? That negative thing's removed, and it's wonderful, right? But then there's always something else, right? There's always something else that'll come up that's not perfect. And guess what? This side of heaven, life isn't going to be perfect. There might be a hardship that comes and it leaves, and then there's going to be something hard. And no matter what you get, there's always something else, right? And that's what I've found in life. If we're looking for things changing, either getting something removed or getting something to bring us contentment, we're always going to be looking for the next thing. And so this morning, I love it. Paul talks about a secret. He found the secret of contentment. And this morning, I just want to look at this passage, and maybe you've been struggling with contentment. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be great if circumstances changed. Maybe the thing that you're looking for or longing for is a good thing. You know, if you're single and just longing for marriage, for a good godly spouse, that's a good thing. If you're going through a hard time and it's really difficult, it might be good for that hard time to pass. And so I'm not saying that what you're going through is right or good, but what I'm saying is, even if nothing changes, can I still have joy? Can I still be content? Can I still rejoice? Like Paul's been telling us over and over, rejoice in the Lord always. And so this morning, I want to just challenge you, even if life doesn't change, will you choose contentment? And this morning, Paul's going to talk about how we can find it, not in our circumstances, but in the Lord. And so let's just look at verses 10 through 14. And he's going to start off, and I love this first verse here. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. So like the first thing he says, and you're trying to think, well, what does that have to do with contentment? Well, he's going to get there. But remember, if you remember, like Paul is writing from prison, right? He's imprisoned. He's gone through a lot of hardship. And through it all, the Philippian church has been there for him. Like numerous times they've supported him financially. They've prayed for him. They've cared for him. Like this is a church. Like it's one of those that's like, man, I want to be a Philippian church. Like they are a caring, loving body. In fact, if you go down to verse 14, it says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." And then next week, Brad's going to be looking through this section where they sent Epaphroditus, they sent gifts, they did all sorts of things. Like this is a church that cares. And so the first thing I see here, it says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly." And so Paul gets this joy from the way that they cared for him. And I love it. It's just that first truth we're going to see this morning is that through the difficulties of life, like Paul's going through a difficult time, like being imprisoned, not able to go about and share his faith like he would like to. That's a difficulty he's going through. But this church was able to actually bring him joy. Like God used this church to give Paul joy. And we have that same opportunity. And so just looking around the body, like the different difficulties that the church goes through, like different people in the church, that's an opportunity you have to bring joy to somebody else. The Lord can use you to bring joy to someone else. And I love it because look at the wording. He says, "I rejoice." Who's the source of the joy? It's not the church. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord." So God is the source of joy. That's our biggest thing that we've seen in Philippians is God is always the source of our joy. But God used this church to give him joy because it says, "I rejoiced in the Lord." God's the source greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. So Paul gets joy just knowing that they care. Like, isn't that just feels so good when you know somebody cares about you? Like sometimes I've been there like, does anybody care? Have you ever been there? You just feel like, does anybody care? And then you get a phone call and they say, "Hey, you've been on my heart." Oh man, that feels so good to know that somebody has joined in you. They know what you're going through and they not only know, they care. And so we know there is some kind of problem because it says that you've revived it. And so he's not trying to come down on him. He says, "You indeed were concerned." So he's not saying that they like lacked concern for him. It says, "But you had no opportunity." And so we don't know all the details. Maybe they weren't financially able to support him. Or I think what's going on is they probably didn't know until they heard from Timothy that Paul was in prison. So the opportunity was they just didn't know where he was and how they could help him. And sometimes that's the case is like, sometimes you love somebody, you care for them, you're concerned for them, but you have no opportunity because you don't know what they're going through. And so somehow they knew or they were able to meet this need. And so that concern was revived and Paul gets news of it. Epaphroditus comes and he ministers to him and he brings these gifts with him and it brings Paul joy. And so I love it. Like God is the source of the joy, but the instrument of the joy was the church. And I want you to think like around, man, there's a lot of needs in the body. Some are going through very difficult times. And sometimes we just need to know, like, are you concerned? Paul realizes this church cares. In fact, I love, look at verse 14 again. It says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." And I love that word share there. It's like this deep, deep concern for somebody else. If you've ever heard the Greek word koinos, it talks about fellowship, right? A lot of times we think about like deep communion, fellowship, the body, the fellowship we can have for one another. It's the Greek word koinos. It's that beautiful Christian connection that we have to one another. And so that word share, it plays off of that word. It's the verb form of it, koinonao, but it also adds on another word. You know how you have a suffix to it? It adds the word soon onto it, so soon koinonao. And so it's like you fellowship together with. And it's like the strongest way Paul can say, like, you joined with me in fellowship, but you were like really together in that fellowship with me. And so I love that picture he gives. Like they entered into deep fellowship with Paul. He received this joy from the Lord just knowing that they were there with him. They were praying for him. They loved him. They cared about him. He said that word concern several times, right? They were concerned about him. And so I just want to, in that first section, you know, different times we're on the highs, the mountaintops, right? And then certain times we're in the valley. We're in the lowest of the low. Paul's going to talk about that in just a second. You know, he says, I know what it means to be on the top, and I know what it means to be on the bottom. Like, I've been in the good and the bad. Maybe you're in the good and you're just like enjoying life. Maybe today is a chance to look up, to open your eyes. Like, who here is going through a difficulty? Like, who's going through a hard time? And how could God use you, like today, this week, to show your love for them, your concern for them, to share, to like fellowship with them in their trouble? What would that look like today, this week? You know, sometimes like getting a text or an email or like the very uncommon letter in the mail. Like, man, when have you got a letter in the mail from somebody? But man, it's awesome when you do, right? Like someone sends you a letter and they say, hey, I've been praying for you. And there's a lady that, a couple that supports our church. And every once in a while, she'll just write a note. Hey, Pastor Dave, I'm praying for you. And like a physical note along with her check. And that just, man, that means something. Like she joins with us in our trouble, in our struggle. It means so much to really, truly care to join in that koinonia, that fellowship we can have with one another. Maybe you're on the other side. And Paul said, you know, you were indeed concerned, but you had no opportunity. And so like you would love for someone to join with you, but you haven't ever let them know. And so sometimes I know I hate being on that side because I hate sharing that I have a need. But it takes humility to say, you know what? I'm not, life isn't perfect. You know what? I'm going through a difficult time and here are my needs. Sometimes people, like we would love to help out, but we just don't know. Like we're concerned, but we don't have the opportunity. And so maybe you're on the other side and you're going through a very difficult experience. Maybe it's a financial hardship. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe it's just an ache in your heart. And part of this fellowship we can have as a body is, yeah, we're concerned, but we need the opportunity. And maybe let somebody know today. And so on the two sides, maybe you need to ask for help. In some way, prayer, concern, finances, something, or maybe you need to look up. Look at what are the needs in the body. But I love this opportunity. He just talks about in verse 10 and 14 that we can bring joy. Paul says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that now at length you've revived your concern for me. How can you bring joy to somebody else? Great joy. I'm just showing your concern for them. So Paul mentions that, and he'll talk more about it next week through the end of the book. But it's kind of a springboard. You know, he's writing to this church. A lot of the letter is really a thank you. Thank you so much for caring. And he'll get into that. But it's a springboard into, yeah, I have been going through some hard times, but I've learned a secret in the hard times. And so that really brings us to verse 11. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. He's not trying to make them feel bad. Hey guys, this is a big pity party. He says, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Okay? And that's the second thing we've seen is like circumstances really reveal where we're looking for our contentment. And Paul's going to talk about like a lot of different circumstances he's gone through. And maybe you can find in those circumstances he describes is like, yeah, I see, I'm right there today. Or no, I've been there 6 months ago, I was there. And he's going to say like any circumstance. Notice what he said, verse 11, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And so today, like there's a contentment to be found no matter what you're going through. And I know a lot of times we think, well, wait, what about this? What about this? You don't understand what I'm going through. And some of us are going through really, really hard circumstances. Paul knows what it's like to go through really, really hard circumstances. Look what he says. He says, I know, verse 12, how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so, kind of like those circumstances, it runs the gambit, right? And you're probably somewhere in the middle of those two, right? You're either on the high or the low or right in the middle. And look at the extremes he gives, right? He says, I know how to be brought low. Like, he's been in the lowest of the low. He's been through harder times than most of us. In fact, just a couple examples. In the Corinthian letters, he talks about kind of the things he's facing there. And in 1 Corinthians 4, 11 through 13, he says, to the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We're poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We become and still are like scum of the world, refuse of all things. Like, man, that's some low lows, right? And maybe you've gone through some low lows. He's been there. Like, Paul can relate. He's like, I know what it means to be brought low. And to be brought low, you know what it means to be high and to lose that, right? He's been there. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, he says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and exposure. Apart from other things, there's this daily pressure on me of my anxiety for the churches. It's like Paul's been through the hard, hard, hard things of life. And so what Paul is saying, you know, in the gambit, there's a way to be content. He's been in the good times too. Notice what he said. He's been low, but he's also been high. He says, I know what it is like to abound. I know what it means to face plenty, and I know what it means to face hunger. And he just described it, you know, hunger, where you have no food, right? And your stomach's growling, and there's no food coming, and you're just waiting, right? That's what that word, he says, I know what it means to be in need. Like, need really drives you to this crisis of faith, right? Where you know, like, there's nothing. And if God doesn't come through, then I'm not going to live. And Paul's been there. That word need means, like, I need God. If he doesn't come through, I'm sunk. You know, that whole prayer we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Like, God, I need bread today. Paul's been there where he needs his daily bread. So it talks about the highs, you know, abounding, being in a place where you have plenty, right? And we've been there where at the end of the table you have leftovers. Paul's been on that side of it too. And so one thing I think we're tempted to, in the middle of all those things, well, maybe the secret of contentment is my circumstances changing, right? Man, if my circumstances changed, then I could be content. And so I love what Paul describes it, though, is he's like, there's this contentment, the secret is independent of circumstance, right? And he uses that word circumstance several times. It's like, in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret, okay? He says in verse 11, whatever situation I'm in, to be content. And so today, like, have you bought into the lie, if my circumstance changed, then I could be content? Really, you know, like, that really reveals where you're looking for contentment. Like, what we think could change to bring us contentment, that's where we think contentment is found. And here's the irony. Like Paul describes, you know, the low lows and the high highs. And I think a lot of times we think the hardest place to be is in the low lows. If that was better, then we can be content. The other's true too, though, and I think maybe it's even harder. Because here's the thing I've found is maybe even the high of highs, if I'm looking for that to bring me contentment, maybe that's a harder realization when it still doesn't, right? When I have everything I need, I have leftovers, I abound, and I'm still not content. Because that's the reality is those things don't bring true and lasting contentment. We always think having more, having abundance, having leftovers, having plenty, that's where contentment is found. But the hardest reality is when you have it all and you still want something more. Because on the other side, when you don't have anything, of course there's this hope because maybe if I get a little bit more, but that's the thing in life is it's always a little bit more. In fact, you probably know that famous quote, how much money do I need to be happy? A little bit more. And it doesn't matter if you have $10 in your checking account or $10 billion in your checking account. If you're looking for that to bring you contentment, it's always a little bit more. And so today, like, are you looking for something, maybe circumstances to bring you contentment? Paul says, like, man, I found this secret. There's something, no matter what I'm going through, wherever I'm at. Like, he's been shipwrecked. He's been adrift at sea. I haven't been there. But Paul was content, or he could be content in that. And so the big question is, like, what'd you find, Paul? What is this secret to contentment? Well, let's look at it. It's found in 13, but before we look at verse 13, he gives us two words that help us, like help lead us to what he means by I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So the first word I want to look at real quick is content. He talks about contentment. And what would you say contentment is? Like if you are content, it's like you're satisfied, right? And you're in this like satisfied state where you don't need anything else. The word he uses, he actually borrows it from Greek Stoic philosophers, okay? And so with that word there, contentment really means is self-satisfied. And so there were these Greek Stoics, and they thought that they could find contentment. And so this is the only time this word is used in the whole New Testament. And the Greek philosophers used this word over and over to find, they said, we have found this secret of contentment. And guess what their secret was? Their secret is they can find it in any circumstance, they said, by getting rid of desire. It sounds very Buddhist. It's like the roots of Buddhism. Like if we just get rid of desire, then we can be content, right? Because if I don't want anything, if I don't desire anything, if I don't have any feelings, any longings, then I can be content anywhere. And so that was their whole secret. What they thought contentment was being satisfied in yourself. Like you can muster up this contentment by just getting rid of desire. And so Paul borrows this word. He's like, I found this secret. But guess what? It's not in self-satisfaction. It's not in self-contentment. It's in Christ contentment. And so when he leads into verse 13, he says, it's not me that makes myself content. These guys were so prideful because they thought, like, man, we can muster up this contentment by just not needing anything from anyone else. And Paul's like, yeah, I found it too, but I can't do it on my own. And so this is one of those most famous verses, and this is what he means by it. He's like, I can be content. Why? Because I can do all things through him. Not through me, through him who strengthens me. And so Paul is this big emphatic, the secret isn't getting rid of desire. Desire isn't a bad thing. And maybe you have these longings like, man, I would long for this and it's a good thing. Paul isn't saying, hey, give up on that dream. What he's saying is even if you don't get it, you can still be content, not in yourself, not in getting rid of desire, but in God's strength. And so today, maybe it's that prayer for strength and trust in God. God, man, I would love my circumstances to change. But man, I know that you can bring me this contentment I can't find in myself. God, please give me a gift of contentment today. And this is that prayer, God, I can't find contentment. That desire is still there. That longing is still there. This hardship is still there. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so Paul says there's a secret. It's not self-satisfaction. It's Christ sufficiency. And so today I want to just tell you, man, I don't want to make light of what you're going through, but I want to make great light of what Christ can do. And so Christ could give Paul contentment in the hardest of the hard times. And I truly believe God can give me contentment and God can give you contentment no matter what you're going through. Why? Like, he can do anything, right? And a lot of times we misuse this verse and we say, like, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And it's true, like, God can do anything. A lot of times we use it to say, okay, I didn't study for my exam, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's not what he's saying here. Or like, I've never dribbled a basketball in my life, but I'm going up to do my first half-court three-pointer, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Like, we misuse this all the time. And if it's God's will for that to happen, yeah, he can do anything. Like, so often in Scripture, they found that out. When they faced an impossible Red Sea, yeah, you can do anything through him who strengthens me. Remember the angel went to Mary to give birth when you have never been with somebody. That's impossible. But the angel says, for with God, nothing is impossible. But the key is, like, God can do anything according to his will. And so what Paul is saying here is, man, this is something impossible. It feels humanly impossible to be content when there's no reason externally to be content. But Paul says, and that word means content, like, I don't need anything from anybody else. Through Christ, I can be satisfied no matter what. I can do all things through Christ, who gives me strength. That second word he uses is secret. And again, he picks this word out from the culture around him. Again, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament, but it was a popular word in a lot of the different cults around him. In Paul's day, there were these cults. They were called secret cults. And they had this word. It meant the secret. And so what they would say is, like, they found what life is all about. And no one else can know what it is. You have to be initiated into this special club, in a sense, to know the secret. And it's always something like you just can't figure it out. And so they were called these secret cults, and they use this word, the secret. And Paul's saying, like, I learned a secret. Like, I figured it out. But it's not found in a cult. It's not found in a secret handshake. It's found in Jesus Christ. And so, like, Paul gave his whole life to making the secret of contentment not so secret. And if you're, like, wondering, well, what's the secret? What is this thing? Is it a handshake? Is it found in some club, some group, some people, like, hiding it from me? Paul's made it very clear. No, it's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, his whole life has now been devoted to making the secret not a secret. And if you remember in this book, like, Paul has said over and over, like, if you want contentment, if you want peace, if you want joy, it's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, what he's saying is the same thing. The secret of contentment is found in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through him. And that word through him means really in him. Like, in him, in this relationship with him, he can strengthen me, give me what I could never muster up on my own. And so the big question is, like, do you know him? And do you know Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with God? If you remember in the book, Paul said in chapter 1, like, this line we can't get, like, we struggle with this. He says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if that is true in your life, if life is Christ, then if you have Christ, you can have joy, you can have contentment. If you can really honestly say, to live is Christ, then in any circumstance, in any up and down, hard or easy, if you have him, then you have life. And if you have life, you have joy, you have contentment. And so today, I just want to challenge you, like, as we think about applying this to our lives, Maybe you have a relationship with God, but you've gotten busy with so many things that if you were to really answer the question, to live is, you would say, well, Christ, family, friends, work, you know, you'd go down the list. Would you say, like, to live is Christ? And everything flows through that, flows through to live is Christ. If you're struggling with contentment, maybe that's where you've gotten busy with all these different things, not saying that they're not important, but are they flowing through to live is Christ? Like Paul found this secret that there's nothing greater than a relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember in chapter 3 when he's like, I had bought into the lie that all these things would make me righteous. I've given it all up. There's nothing more important to me than knowing him. Is that the most important thing in your life? Is that like the thing for you? Do you remember when Paul said that? He said, to know him is the greatest thing. Look back at chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He said, whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things. Count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And so today, maybe the challenge, like I can do all things through him. Like, are you seeking contentment in him, through him? That's what he means by I can do all things through him. Like the impossibility of finding contentment right here. How is that possible? Well, there's a secret. The secret's I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Today, would you go back to your first love, say, to live as Christ? I've given up everything that I might know him. He's the most important thing, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I just want to give you a couple challenges kind of to make it personal for us. And I think no matter where we're at, whether we're in the high or the low, whether you have a lot or a little, sometimes we think, man, let's just go to that Stoic philosopher. Maybe the Buddhists have it right. Maybe my longing is what the problem is. If I just get rid of that longing. And maybe you're experiencing a huge hurt or a huge loss, and it hurts. Your heart is just heavy. And you're thinking, man, I could be content if I just could stop feeling. Like Paul's saying, desire isn't the wrong thing. Like, desire isn't the problem. Don't buy into the lies that desire itself is the evil. And so maybe you have a desire for something God hasn't provided. It's a good thing, like a spouse or a house, a job. It's okay to long for those things. That's not the problem. Don't buy into the lie that desire is evil. Or maybe you're going through a hard loss and you say, if I could just stop feeling. God has given us these desires, these longings, and he meets us in the longing. And so don't give those things up. Give them to him and say, man, I still long for this hurt to be released. I still long for this good thing that you haven't given me. But in the middle of it all, will you meet me in the desire? Because I have a desire for something even greater, to live as Christ. And so would you meet me here today, God, in my hard, hurting heart? God, would you meet me right here in this unmet desire, and would you give me a greater desire for you, a greater longing for you? Would you do the impossible of giving me contentment? I think what it means is, like, when we're hurting, go to prayer. Ask God, God, you said this verse is true. I can do all things through him. I need it. I need you. So please give me contentment right here. When you feel yourself longing for those, that thing that God's withheld or doesn't given you, maybe it's not for you, or maybe it's not time for you. Say, God, I would love to have it, but would you meet me right here? God, I need you right here and right now. So don't buy into the lie that desire is evil. Don't buy into the lie that contentment is impossible unless. Right? That's the other thing. Like he said, I found the secret in everything. So we always buy into that lie, like, if I had this, then I could be content. Or if I didn't have this, then I could be content. Maybe it's a sickness, it's a hurt, a pain, a financial hardship. If we're always waiting for those things to be made right, guess what? We're going to be waiting forever. You're going to wait your whole life until life is perfect, because no matter what hurt is made right, there's going to be some other hurt. There's going to be some other hardship. No matter what you get that you've been longing for, there's always the next thing. So don't wait for that to be content. You're going to be waiting until heaven. Choose contentment right here. So don't say, like, if I had that new car, then I'd be content. If I had the new house, the new job, the easier life, if my kids did this, or if my parents just did this, then I could be content. Get ready to wait, okay? Because you're going to be waiting your whole life. Contentment isn't found in circumstances changing. It's okay to want them to change, but are you going to choose contentment even if they don't change? And so the big challenge is to make Christ your all in all. I love this quote from Blaise Pascal. He's a 17th century French philosopher, a mathematician, just this brilliant guy, and he came to faith in Christ. And so he wrote this book called His Pensées. These are his thoughts about life and about God. And I love this in the seventh section, his 425th Pensée. He says, "What is it then that this desire and this inability proclaim to us?" So he's wrestling with this, like, we have these unmet desires. What does it mean? And he says, "But that there was once in man true happiness, of which there now remained to him only the mark and empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill from all his surroundings, seeking from things absent that help he does not obtain in these things present. But they are all inadequate, because the infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object, that is to say, only by God himself." And what he says so much more eloquently than I can is exactly what I found in my life and you found in yours. There are these deep longings in our hearts that nothing in this world can satisfy. God is the only one that can satisfy our heart's desires. And so if you're looking for contentment in all these things, they're not going to fill you. They're not going to fill you up. You're always going to be wanting something else to change. And so make Christ your all in all. What Paul found here, this secret, I can do all things through him. Like, he's the secret. Jesus is the secret. Making him my all in all. Others have found that same secret. In fact, I love this. I came across this week. Habakkuk, man, those prophets, they had hard times. And some of the prophets just had hard experiences. And the last verses of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, he says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the field yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." And I love this, the very last words of the book of Habakkuk, "to the choir master with stringed instruments." And so he's like, hey guys, make this a song. How many times do we sing a song, you know, "though the olive tree doesn't give fruit," we don't usually sing songs like, "if everything goes wrong, still I'm going to choose to rejoice." That's why I love that song, "Even If," because that band, they wrestle with that, like, man, even if nothing changes, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to rejoice right here, right now. I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise. And Habakkuk found that same thing that Paul said, "rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Habakkuk says, man, if nothing ever changes, if it's just worse and worse and worse, yet I will rejoice. Like, he found that same secret. Why? He says, "I will take joy in the God of my salvation." Why? Because the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet. He's saying that verse 13 exactly in different words. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And so today, I just want to challenge you. I don't know if your circumstances will ever change, if things will ever get better. Or maybe you're on the high of the highs. I don't know if things will ever get worse. But one thing I know is Christ is worth making him our all in all. And so today, let's say to live as Christ. Let's really make that true. Like, Christ is my all in all. And today I'm going to find contentment in him. And when I find myself discontent, I'm not going to look to things to fix it. I'm going to look to God to fix it. And so maybe I'm going to have to pray it 10 times today. Maybe I'm going to have to pray it 100 times tomorrow. But I'm going to pray to God, God, give me strength. You promised me. Give me contentment. I can do all things through you. So please strengthen me. He found the secret. The secret is Jesus Christ. Christ can do the impossible. He can make us content, even here, even now. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. So believe that today you can be content. Choose to be content and trust in him to be the one who brings you contentment. Let's pray. Lord, there's always in this life something that's not right. Some deep hurt, some longing for something different. Sometimes, and for some of us, it's even greater than anybody else could ever understand. And there's a hurt inside of someone this morning that only you can heal. And so, God, if for that hurt today where they just feel like they can't be content because of that deep, deep hurt, God, would you do the impossible? Would you today strengthen them and do that impossible? God, for that person longing for something very good that you could do today, but you haven't. A good gift that you could give them, but you've withheld it. Lord, I pray that you'd meet them today. That no matter if anything ever changes, they can be content because they can do all things through you who gives them strength. God, today may we be a church like this Philippian church that joins in with each other, cares for each other, shares in the struggles, and be the instruments maybe that you're going to use to answer that prayer we're praying. That when we say, God, I can do all things, so please give me that strength, that someone else will come and wrap their arms around us. That you would use us as a body to meet those needs, to bring your joy, bring your love, and your contentment to those who need it today. God, we're just so thankful for you that you never let us go and never give up. You're always here for us. And so help us today to find our contentment and joy in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us.
Come back for your bride. God, there's a day where every desire is going to be met, every longing fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You say that you will wipe away every tear, that death will be no more. We'll be in the joy and presence of the Lord forever and ever. We long for that day. But God, until then, would you meet us here in our time of need, in our hardship, in the hurts and the sorrows, that we could say it is well with my soul because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Would you give us that strength? Give us what we need today to say it as well. Meet us here in our need. We pray this and use us this week to do that for someone else. In Jesus' name, amen.